Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building at Halas Hall. We got to watch the first padded practice.
It don't count when you're in shorts. The pads bring the fullback out. So, you know, first hand pad, so I had to come check
the guys out. We saw some fullback love today. We saw a little.
My man KB, Kyrie Blassie, yeah. Gave me awesome passes, made some nice blocks. I'm happy for him. I'm always excited when they give the fullback the ball. Give him a bone. He's doing all that blocking. Yeah. Sometimes you got to give him a bone, and they did today. So I like that. You know, I saw a lot of versatility in the Shane Waldron offense.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of personnel groupings, you know, a lot of 21, so I'm glad they're using the fullback. Saw some 12 personnel, 11. Obviously, you got 11. You got all those receivers out there. Oh, yeah. So I think it's going to be exciting. I think a lot of penalties. You know,
a lot of penalties today. Yeah,
a lot of pre-snap penalties. I don't know
on how many, both sides actually.
Yeah, how many false starts we saw? We had an offensive pass interference.
Yeah.
Had a couple holding calls, but that's expected. You know, it's still early in camp. First day in pads, things get physical. So you can expect the penalties to be, you know, flags to be thrown. But I think it's good that they have the officials out there, so that way they can put an emphasis on those things, and guys know they need to clean that up before the real bullets start flying.
No, yeah, for sure. I think my big takeaway about it, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, lead a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. First day in pads, my big takeaway was what I saw yesterday was a team that looked like they were chomping at the bit to hit somebody.
Okay.
And today, I think that me and you both kind of looked at it and was like, oh, they hitting out there. Like, it's not, they're not shying away from it. Ladies and gentlemen, they're playing football.
Yeah, well, when you play patty cake for a week, you know what I mean? You get tired of baking cakes out there playing patty cake. Yeah. You actually can, you know, play football. So it's good. I think the one thing that we did see from both sides of the ball was energy.
Yes.
You know, the defense was flying around. The offense was flying around. You know, every time a running back ran the ball, the standard that I like that Coach Morton has set in place, or not just him, but even receivers were doing the same thing. They were taking that ball and they're running that ball into the end zone.
Yeah.
And that's a standard. And that just gets you, that's extra conditioning, but it also gets you in that phase to where in a game that as soon as I break free, my body's conditioned to take it the distance.
Right.
And not only was a standard being met by the players, Coach Morton himself was adhering to the standard, because every single time when his backs took off, he was running through the end zone himself. You know, it looked like he had some more gas in the tank. He could have got out there and got some shoulder pads, too.
My favorite part of Coach Morton is him running down the sideline with Roshan, and they're running back.
Yeah.
I don't think Roshan would have ran a touchdown on the play, but they're running back, and he literally is, like, jawing at the DBs. Oh, like, he's still the running back
on
the field. Yeah, and somebody said something to him, and he stopped. And was like, run that by me again.
Jalen Johnson.
It was JJ.
They're like, arguing in the middle of practice, and I'm like, Coach, don't you got to get back? You got to sub at the next running back. But, it's good. It's good to see energy. And I hate bringing up last year, and you know, but that's the only thing we have to compare
it to. It was missing.
It was missing last year. You know, I think last year we saw backs, you know, when they would have – ran the ball, they would have probably stopped 10 yards past the line of scrimmage and then made a U-turn.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's good to see those things. And that's the type of things, the little details that you have to implement. And those are the type of things that's going to make you successful throughout the season, throughout the year.
What's your overall takeaway from the first padded practice? What's the one thing that you leave here going, okay, I like what I saw there?
Yeah, I mean, got a bunch of guys, athletes, man, a bunch of athletic guys. I mean, guys, I saw a lot of speed out there. A
lot of speed.
All the backs had speed when they were taking that ball to the end zone. The receivers, I mean, it's crazy to see that dynamic of that receiver room of, you know, when Ryan Poles first came here to where it is now. I mean, look, we talked about Colin Johnson in the pre-practice warm. I mean,
Colin Johnson would have been a wide receiver too, first year of Ryan Poles.
Man, like 6'5", every bit of like 230. I mean, he's a big guy. Rome, I had the opportunity to talk to Rome after practice. He's a big guy. Like, Keenan's bigger than what I thought he would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And DJ, obviously, DJ's like got to build a running back. But it's good to see the different body types in that receiver room. But it's also good to see the athletes we have in that receiver room. You know, I'm excited. I think Caleb did a lot of great things today. He made a lot of great passes. Then he made a lot of plays that made you scratch your head. But that's the learning curve that a rookie's going to have to get over. But the playmakers that we have on this offense looped in with the playmaking ability that we have at quarterback was definitely on display today.
I thought today's day was the defense's day. The second day in a row, I thought it was the defense's day. But I like how you said it, right? There were those moments where I mean, heck, we even got a little bit of a kerfuffle and Caleb Williams involved himself in that. You know what Marcus I mean? Like Walker, yeah, with D-Walk and Gerald Everett going at it. Yeah. And I think it was a push by Everett and D-Walk pushed back. And all of a sudden you see the orange jersey in there and everybody stops breathing. Hey, hey.
Caleb mushed him. Caleb mushed him. He's like, get back in your huddle, man. But I like it. I like Caleb's demeanor out there. He's got a little swag to him. Yeah. He's got that quiet confidence that you should have as a quarterback because – you know, I play with a ton of quarterbacks here, and you can tell when, you know, a quarterback's BSing. You can tell when a quarterback really has something, right?
Yeah.
You get in the huddle and the quarterback calls a play, and you're like, oh, damn, we ain't going to score this drive. But you get in the huddle and the quarterback's calling the play with authority, with confidence. You're like, yeah, we got some. Like, we riding with him.
You know what I mean?
We riding with this guy. And I think, you know, I'm not in the huddle, so I don't want to say that. But just from what I've seen, a little bit of what I've seen from Caleb, he does have a quiet confidence, like a little swag about.
And the one thing that off of that, like, you can't take too much out of a little first day in pad skirmish. You could tell this was building up the entire time. I've been out here just about every practice. And I mean, like, you could tell, like, they can't wait to hit each other because they're ready for that moment.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams running in there, I was like, he, to me, just killed all the Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
He killed, like, I think there's things that, you know, off of the field, he's going to do his photo shoots, his fashion stuff. Yeah. He's going to be, right, the nail painting, everybody freaks out about it, the dumbest thing in the world. But on the football field, he wants to be a football player.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, in those moments, not to say you want your quarterback running in there, but it does say something when a rookie is like, I don't care how long you've been out here. I don't care how big you is. You're not going to push my guys around.
Yeah, I'm protecting my guys. I'm one of the guys. And, you know, I think, you know, the Hollywood thing, I think that a lot of people had that perception of him when he was coming out of USC, just because the environment he was in, he's out there in Hollywood, and he was getting paid through NIL. And
he's from Washington. That means nothing. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's from D.C.
Means nothing at all.
Yeah, completely different, you know, type of personalities and dynamic D.C. and L.A.
Yeah, but
the cool thing is, like, even after practice, you know, I was out there, and he's out there, you know, hugging people, taking pictures, signing stuff for the kids and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm excited to see him. I'm really excited to see him in live action. And I know that'll come down the road, but now I'm hoping we found the guy. You know, we found a quarterback. I hope so.
My biggest takeaway from today, and I think that this is one of the major questions that we had coming in, and I think we got a couple of answers. And today I told you when we walked out there, I'm focusing on the line.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, I can see every day. Mm-hmm. He's going to have the footwork and all of that. You got to work it out with pads on. But I want to see what the line does. Jervon Dexter looks like he can play three technique.
Yeah.
Just one practice, but he was in the backfield consistent. He was in the backfield so fast on the first play. I don't know if this was drawn up. You would know better than me if everything is charted. But he instantly was double teamed the next play.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? You talk about a guy who is rookie year, was probably a little bit on the heavier side to be the three technique.
Little baby fat on him.
And what did Eberflus say last year? You know, he said he's slow off the ball. His first step wasn't quick. And the good thing is Jervon, you know, he evaluated himself, and obviously he went back and said, I got to lose some weight. And he already said, I cut out the late night snacks and stuff like that. Did a lot more running, marathon running, whatever. But he did look good. And you can tell his initial get off on the line of scrimmage is definitely there. He does have a burst. He looks good. And that's what you got to be.
Yeah.
In this defense, the three technique is a disruptor. And he was very disruptive today. So it's good to see that. I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the second year here. The Bears are going to definitely need him. But also Pickens as well. Zach Pickens is going to have to step up. But if that D-line can get pressure on the quarterback, and we've got a lot of guys in that secondary that can make plays, there'll be a lot of takeaways just like we saw last year. You know, Montez looks great. You know, he's always in shape. He did his thing. But this defense is predicated on that front four getting pressure on that quarterback.
Yeah. And just seeing them, I mean, like seeing them attack him with the double team so consistently. And I'm not telling you that he's a finished product. He's ready to go. I do think there's still things to add. I think when he gets double teamed, he kind of needs to figure out, okay, you know, this is where I need to lock up and just get my hands up and be the 6'6 player that I am.
Right.
And we saw him tip a pass today when he was able to do that. But just like that was one of the major questions that I think a lot of people had around Jervon Dexter and seeing him. I mean, we saw him early in camp day one. He's blocking a ball, gets his hands up, and it basically dies out. Caleb catches it, runs a couple yards. But even today's, those same instincts, the quickness off of the ball, like I think that the questions on him will be answered, of course, when it's on the real field.
Yeah.
But it looks like he has all of the all the tools at his disposal to do that. It's just about putting it together in a real game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's going to be exciting to see how everything ties in. You know, they'll get some live action here on when Thursday.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame game coming up Thursday. So a lot of the backups to get some work. We saw the backup running back Ian Wheeler, who I know you've been very high on.
Yeah.
He's
getting cussed out today.
Yeah, he did.
I ain't going to lie to you. They had to redo a whole drill because he wasn't getting his pass low enough. Me and Jay Mackerson, I was like, maybe he's not as good as thought he was. Standard, he getting
though.
Cussed out.
I love it, though. But that's the standard, though. But that's the standard. Like, you know, doing things, you know, half-assed it is not good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to be as perfect or get as close to perfection as we can be. And I love the fact that, you know, Coach Morton, you know, during that drill, they're running through the chute. And running through the chute is like running through contact. You're running through traffic, right? Yeah. And if you don't have your pad level down, you're going to get tattooed. And if you have high pad level where you're giving the defender a lot of surface area to hit, and what happens? You get de-cleated. You know, you get hit. You fumble the ball. You can't get those extra yards that you may need. So I'm glad that he's not leaving, you know, making the guys adhere to every detail and every facet of the game to make sure that when the season comes about, you know, they're close to being perfect as they can be.
The other thing I thought was a somewhat of an answer today that we saw is Coleman Shelton was the guy that Javon Dexter was killing all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In run pro, I thought Coleman Shelton looked really good. I thought he did a good job as a lead blocker. I thought he opened some space up. We saw some really good runs. Mm-hmm. In pass pro, I still got a lot of concerns, and I think that this center position is definitely up for battle. We did get, again, the other switch, right? Ryan Bates was yesterday. Coleman Shelton was with the ones today. We'll get Ryan Bates again, I would assume, with the ones tomorrow. Is that a point of concern for you, seeing how, I mean, we're praising Javon Dexter, but what that means is the guy on the other side is getting cooked.
Nah, I mean, it's different, too, because we don't know what play was called.
Exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it's different. You know, we can sit here from our view, we're not in the huddle, and we can say, okay, you know, Coleman got beat on this play or you know what I'm saying? But we don't know what the run was. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what type of scheme they ran. Was it a zone? Was it a gap? We don't know. You know what I mean? But the good thing is you have two guys that are very capable, two guys that have a lot of potential. You know, one that you tried to bring here last year in Ryan Bates. Now you got him on your team. You bring in a guy that has a lot of experience like Coleman Shelton. So it's good that those two are going to battle it out. You know, the one thing that I would look at too is, you know, the lead, who's the bona fide leader on an offensive line group? You know,
is it Tevin Jenkins has said that Ryan Bates is the vocal leader.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, because I'm so used to when you have an online group and we were spoiled, we had Olin Krutz and we had Ruben Brown, two guys that were vocal, but they did a great job by leading by example because they were going to put in more work than anybody. And, you know, when they spoke, you listened, but at the same time, you had that respect factor because they were putting in the work. So I'm interested to see who's going to take that title, who's going to, you know, take on that responsibility or take on that role from the offensive line group. So it'll be interesting to see who's going to do that.
Can you have a guy who's your vocal leader not be your starting offensive lineman?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean,
Tevin Jenkins, I mean, he didn't even, it was the first question they asked him. He didn't even hesitate. He literally was like, I'd say it's Ryan Bates. It probably took him a couple days to get acclimated, and all of a sudden he was the vocal leader. Like, I guess it is my question with Flus, and it's a competition, question. Right? He's never been a starting center. You've had that question, right? Where you've been in the league, has he been 5 years, 6 years, and you've been the backup right guard? You know what I mean? Like, but to me, if that's the guy you've identified as your vocal leader, shouldn't all your focus be in, okay, we need to turn him into the center that we need for this team instead of like, let's keep it an open competition?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's you're right. That's a good question, though. Can you be the vocal leader of that position group and not be the starter? I mean, I think you can if you're doing everything right and you're making sure that, you know, you're getting extra reps, you're making sure the young guys are getting extra reps, you're helping bringing along the young guys in terms of making them watch extra film, staying on the field after practice, working on technique and things like that. I think from that standpoint, you can be. We'll see. We'll see who takes that role. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, another good thing that I looked at too is, you know, I think TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, I think they're going to pick up where they left off.
Oh, yeah.
They look good, man. They were flying around. They were making reads real quick in the run game. They were shooting gaps, you know, in the run game, fitting up on running backs. So I'm excited to see those two guys play. The one guy who I'm disappointed, who haven't seen, you know, out there is Noah Sewell. I think he has a lot of potential. He's bigger than Jack Sanborn. I think he's on paper more athletic. I just think he's
not just on paper. He's more athletic.
Yeah.
He's been hurt. It's not just on paper.
Yeah, he's been hurt too. So it's like, it's unfortunate that he's not having the opportunity to go out there and compete. But, you know, Jack Sanborn, he's just proven when he gets out there, he's a dog. Whether it's on special teams or on defense, he just makes plays.
And that's it. I guess that would be my question with Noah Sewell. Not to say that he doesn't have the size, the skill, the athleticism, but do you have the smarts, the headspace that Jack Sanborn has? Because while Jack Sanborn may run a whatever, 4.6, you know what I mean? He may not be the fastest guy out there, may not be the tallest guy out there. Jack Sanborn is always the first guy to the spot he needs to be in. Jack Sanborn is always the guy that's like, oh, this is the play they finna run. Yeah. I need to be in the backfield because I'm finna lay this running back. He put a hit on, I think it was Bijan last year in that Atlanta game. He just met him in the backfield. It was like, I knew where you were going to be before you knew where you were going to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part where, yes, I think Noah Sewell has a tick check next to him physically above Jack Sanborn on everything. But can you be a smarter player than Jack? And I don't think there's many people on this team that can.
Yeah, 100%. It's different. It's a lot different than just being an athlete playing football, right? And then you have guys that just play fast and they make plays just because they have instincts and they understand the scheme and they understand what their role is within the scheme. You know, especially linebackers, they understand, you know, where to fit in their gap. And they're always in the right place. And when an opportunity presents itself for them to make a play, they make a play. And the elite guys in this league, when you have like a Brian Urlacher who has that elite athleticism, but also has the instincts and, you know, he has the awareness that he had, when you just tie that in all together, you got a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? So, you know, Jack is definitely a guy that can make plays just because he makes up for his lack of athleticism by understanding the scheme and relying on his instincts.
Well, you talk about how the running back room right now kind of was finishing things and they were finishing it in the end zone and all of that. Yeah. What's your takeaway from what you saw in the first day in pads, though? When you look at DeAndre Swift, when you look at Khalil Herbert, what's your takeaway from the group?
Man, I was real excited because realistically, and I know it's day one and, you know, they're not really tackling to the ground, but.
Tell them that because it was a lot of tackles. They did to the ground.
But I'm just saying, you know,
we was like, stay off the ground, dog. We got to get to the season.
It was, you know, I'm real happy. I think all three backs, not just say four, and actually five, because Travis Homer made some great runs too.
Yeah.
You've got a running back room with a lot of talent, and you have a running back room with a lot of guys that can do a lot of things, right? I think Khalil, Roshan, and DeAndre. And Travis, and I haven't seen Ian too much, but I'll just say Travis can do a lot of things in terms of the passing game as well when given an opportunity. So I think the overall, you know, forecast of the running back room is really good, is bright, because I love DeAndre. He has a burst. Khalil Herbert, we already know he has a burst. Roshan runs with power. You know, he excels in pass protection. And then you bring in a young guy like Ian, you know, who get his chance here in preseason. But Travis Homer is a guy that you can put in there and make some plays. You saw him make a really good run today, you know, but also he's a dog on special teams. So it's going to be interesting to see how that room shapes up. You know, what is Ian Wheeler going to do throughout preseason? You know, what's going to happen with Khalil Herbert? We know DeAndre's probably going to be the starter.
DeAndre's one.
Yeah.
Roshan. But Herbert, I mean, we saw him make a case for he's making a heck of a case for two. Yeah. I was somebody that, and I still am, I think that the politics of where things are, Roshan's probably going to get more of those reps. Yeah. Khalil Herbert's having a phenomenal training camp. Play.
He's proven he's made plays in this league. He's made plays since he's been here as a Chicago Bear. So it's good, man. And I think that and to have so many good young running backs all in one room, they're going to push each other.
Yeah.
And that's good. But you also have a coach that's going to push them as well. So, you know, I keep talking about Coach Chad Morton. Like,
Chad.
I was real excited about what I saw from him. Like, he was not leaving. He was not letting little things slide. Like, he was on these guys. He didn't care if it was DeAndre, if it was Roshan, it was Khalil, it was Ian, it was Travis. And I know he was with Travis before. Like, he was cussing Travis out. Like, come on, Homer, get your, you know what, through the shoot. Like, I love that. I love that, man.
I was dying laughing because, like, Swift was the only one that got praised for his pad levels.
Yeah.
He's like, good pad levels, DeAndre. God dang it, Travis. Yeah. What?
He told Khalil, he's like, hey, man, you keep going. You keep running high through the chute. You're going to find out about it on that other field in a few minutes. So, and he's right. He's right. But you know what? The thing is, like, that's when you have a guy who's played that position at the same level that you're on and has had success, Like, as a player, especially a young player, you're going to listen because, yes, he's played the game. He's coached the game. He's coached some good running backs. You know what I mean? So it's good. I'm glad he's here. And I'm real excited to see what that position produces throughout the season.
What do you need to see improvement-wise from today to tomorrow? We're going to be back up here tomorrow breaking this down again. What do you need to see?
Man, I love the energy. Just keep the energy. You know, guys continue to make plays. There was a lot of guys that made plays. Adrian Culber had an interception. I think we saw
I was on Beja. Adrian Culber had it. Beja had a bad day. Like, he was Beja has had – he's been a little up and down. For the most part, he's been solid, but he's been had a couple down days. Today was not a good day. I think two back-to-back interceptions on Beijing on that one.
Yeah, so it's you know, I just want to keep seeing the energy and the physicality.
Yeah.
I think that's what you need to see when you have pads on. Are things going to be perfect? No. Guys are still understanding the plays. They're still learning the scheme. It's new on offense. Guys are trying to find their footing on defense. The scheme's not new there. But you do have some new players that's on that defensive roster. And, you know, you're going to have some young guys that's going to take a lot of reps in preseason on that defense. So it's just about just going out there, playing fast, playing physical. A lot of times when you make a mistake on the field, that physicality will overcome those mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can coach a scheme, but you can't continue to coach a player to be physical. He's either physical or he isn't. You know what I mean? You can correct him if he goes the wrong way. You can correct his assignment, but it's impossible to coach effort and physicality.
I literally said yesterday, I said, I think I'm excited because we may go through a padded practice where, like, Flus has to tell guys to calm down. We saw a little bit of that today.
Yeah,
because there was bodies on the ground, and, like, you kind of saw the coaches like, what are you doing? Like, you can't be hitting. And the running backs was going back at him. It was like, you know, the scared. DB's punching, throwing a boat.
I was scared. Like, it's good to see, right? And, you know, you talk about generating takeaways. And, you know, from the defense that we had when I played here, we had a great defense, right? The reason why our defense was so great, because they worked on every detail at practice. So, you know, I talked about the running backs, but not just the running backs, the receivers, or any ball carrier finishing the run into the end zone. Well, on the flip side, the defense was doing the same thing. They were punching that ball out. Everybody's rallying to the ball, trying to punch that ball out, trying to generate a takeaway. And those are the things that you got to have. If you want to be a championship team, you have to go out there and practice. You have to meet. You have to lift. Everything has to be on a championship level.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it that way, you're kidding yourself. You're going to fall short.
Would you say that, me and you were very big critics of training camp last year.
Yeah.
Would you say that Matt Eberflus has seemingly fixed a lot of the issues that we saw yesterday, getting your first eyes on training camp?
Yeah, practice? I just think it's more intense, the practice. I mean, this is my first one, so.
Yeah.
I wasn't here to watch the underwear Olympics. I wasn't coming to watch that. But, I mean, in terms of the first padded practice, and I can compare this to last year because that's all I have to go
on. That's all we got.
It was a lot more intense. It was a lot better. You know, guys were flying around. Guys were showing more juice. Guys were talking back and forth. Pads were popping. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, guys wearing football pads in the library. No, you heard the pads. And it wasn't because the DJ was playing. It was the pads popping. So, you know, I'm excited, man. I just want them to keep up the intensity. You know, keep up the intensity. Keep making each other better. Keep challenging each other. Because as a teammate, the worst thing you can do is, right, go out there and to not give your teammate who you're going against a good look.
Yeah.
Right? Or to not hold your position group or one of your teammates in your position group, hold them to a high standard. Because you're not helping, right? You're not helping this team get to where it needs to be. And it's going to come back to haunt you. So I'm glad that guys are challenging each other. I'm glad that they're playing fast. I'm glad that they showed physicality and they showed that, you know, guys had juice. And it's the first day in camp, first day in pads. It should be that way. But I want to see that level of excitement. I want to see that level of intensity remain at a high level throughout training camp when they have the pads on.
Now, the one thing that we got to see today that hasn't happened is in the situational team periods, ladies and gentlemen, Caleb Williams scored a touchdown. Yeah. Now, it was not in the red zone, but it was a really nice pass. It was, I mean, we haven't been able to see that, which means that he's showing some progress. He's showing some recognition. We saw threw it to Tyler Scott, back right corner of the end zone.
Yeah.
We saw it seemed like there was a breakdown between Jaquan Brisker and Reek back to back because the first time he had a shot at Rome Odunze.
Yeah. He overthrew him.
In a game, Rome probably laying out for that one, though. It was there.
It was close.
It was there.
The good thing is he recognized it.
Yes.
You know, but it was a break. I mean, he hit Tyler Scott on a nice ball. It was definitely a breakdown in coverage between.
And they were arguing back and forth on the field. Yeah.
Between Jaquan and Tyreek Stevenson, you know, they're cussing each other out. But that just shows you the level of accountability that these guys have.
Yeah.
Like, Jaquan's like, hey, man, I couldn't get over the top.
He's literally like, force him outside or force him inside. Yeah, and he's like, no, I'm outside.
Yeah, Jaquan's like, you got to force him inside. And I don't know, you know, Tariq said something back, but it's good. Like, it means something.
Yes.
And that's what you need. Like, you got to hold each other accountable, man, because if that's against Green Bay, like, you know what I mean, that can be the difference in them winning and losing that game.
100%.
So I'm glad it happened in practice. They'll clean it up. They'll sort it out. They're going to meet, talk about it, and, you know, hopefully they won't make that mistake again.
How's that go when you're in the film room and you know you're right? Is that I told you, dog?
Sometimes, man. The worst thing is, like, you know, when you're watching film, you know you messed up, and your coach has that laser pointer, and he keeps circling you. Look, J-Mac, you know you done messed up, right? He keeps circling it, and then he keeps rewinding it in your head, like, man, all right, you showed it 50 times already. And then he'll rewind it, and then he puts it in slow-mo, and then does the little laser pointer. Like, all right, man, I messed up.
Was Lovey doing y'all like Belichick?
Lovey never really, you know, he would pop in the room every once in a while.
Yeah.
Offensive position room. But he was mainly, you know,
he's on the defense. He was the defensive side.
You know, any situation that we had, anything that was questionable on the field, he'd always give it to the defense.
Oh, God, nah. That wasn't outside. Like, Lovey, like, Wale's lined up next to me, Lovey. You're not outside. Like,
I mean, he's in the 3-point next to me. Like, come on, man. But no, it's good stuff, man. It's good. You know, I'm glad that the one thing that we didn't talk about is just the overall talent level of this roster.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about the blue chip guys. We're talking about Brisker. We talk about Sweat. But there's a lot of other guys on this roster, you know, guys that have been here on practice squad last year, you know, guys who are backups and have experience in this league, but guys who are, you know, you can tell that they're playing faster, they're playing more confident. Like Micah Baskerville, I saw him, you know, make some plays. He was a practice squad guy last year that showed signs in camp last year making some big plays. So it's good. Like, the overall talent level of this team compared to when Ryan Poles took it over is night and day. And that's all you want. You want to continually improve this roster, and he has.
Well, I think about a guy like Tyler Scott, right? Tyler Scott's had a phenomenal training camp.
Yes, he has.
And if we're being honest about it, Tyler Scott's at best the fourth wide receiver on this team. He's probably not going to get a ton of looks his way, but it's preparing yourself and being ready for that moment. That's the one thing, right, even seeing it today, that I think the love for Tyler Scott is valid. He's had a really good camp. I think it's tough to take a lot of that in my mind and say that's going to play out on the field because he's the fourth guy on this team. Yeah. But having that now, you know that that's going to carry over into being ready when you are called upon. When you do get that opportunity like you had last season in Detroit where we're sitting there going, how's that Tyler Scott, not DJ Moore?
Yeah.
Tyler Scott wasn't ready for that moment. This year, you're hoping, seeing this in practice, he'll be more ready for that moment. And like you said, there's a ton of players on this team like that who you could talk about as the backups and be like, I look at Terrell Smith that way as well. Yeah. Phenomenal backup player that, listen, Jalen Johnson or Tyreek Stevenson go down or Kyler Gordon go down, you hope it doesn't happen, but it's football. You've got a competent guy that can step in there and be like, I'm keeping the same energy as the dude who was here ahead of me.
Yeah, most definitely, man. So it's a lot of talent guys flying around. Obviously, this is day one in pads. You know, we'll be here tomorrow breaking it all down again for you guys to see, you know, what the intensity level is on day two and breaking it all down for you. So, like I said before, it's good times being a Bears fan, man, as it is always during training camp. So I want to maintain
that level. Let's hope this will carry us to the season.
Hopefully we're this optimistic when the real thing kicks off.
All right, we're going to go to Football Fest just as excited this year and just be like, by the way, Football Fest is August 25th, I believe. So pull up with us over there as well. It's going to be fun at the Hard Rock Casino, also sponsored this podcast. Before we get up out of here, J-Mac, we saw something today. We can't leave a pod without talking about the punt god, as they have dubbed him. Mm-hmm. What are your first eyes on the prize views of Torrey Taylor and how he punts the football?
I mean, he's kicking the air out the ball, which he should. I mean, like, fourth round pick, you better be punting that ball. And, you know, I mean, he looks good, though. He looks good. And, you know, obviously they're putting a high emphasis on special teams, as you should if you're in a Bears uniform. You know, I think Coach Hightower does a great job with the special teams group.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's evident, you know, that I saw a lot of different situations on special teams as well Today was punt, and I think you know, we did back. He did back.
Had him backed up in the end zone.
All kinds of things.
He punted like 70 yards.
Yeah, not just him, but Corliss Waitman.
Yeah,
you know, he was punting too. Like realistic. Let's be honest. Like, you really can't, like, when they punt, like, Torrey may have a little more hang time, a little more distance, but it's not that far off.
It's not. It don't get me started, J-Mac.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only difference, if you weren't paying attention and they punted it, the difference you see is the number. Like, I mean,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Don't but get you're
me,
like, it was
don't, fun. Don't get me started on that, J-Mac. We drafted a punter in the fourth round.
Hey, man.
And then, bring in somebody that's just a body. Don't bring in somebody who's phenomenal. Like, yeah. Like,
bro. He can punt, man.
And he's left-footed. That's the other thing, too. He punted with the other foot.
He can punt.
And also wears 37.
We're 37.
Have you seen T-Med yet? Have you talked to T-Med yet?
I didn't even talk to T-Med about it. But no, hey, he's out there punting. As long as he's doing his job, you know, at 37 looks a little funny on him because he's not that big of a guy.
Yeah.
There's a DB that's wearing 37, too.
Leon Jones. Leon Jones at Arkansas State. Defense. Yeah,
it's pretty cool, man. It's good to, you know, I love the opportunity to come back and to come out here on the same practice fields that I had a chance to play on. And
who's been the best player to wear your number since you retired?
Sure, I don't know, man. Honestly, I don't know.
It's a good 37. Question. We got to look that up. Who's been the best player to wear 37
trivia
since you?
Man. So, yeah.
We'll see. It's usually a fullback number. Is it like Kyrie's in a – it could be a DB number,
It could be
too.
A safety. I think there was a couple of safeties that were 37. You know, as long as they don't give it to, like, the manager or something like that, I'm all right. As long as the manager or the guy holding the water, no disrespect, they got a tough job too. But I'm like, man,
they get numbers.
I'm like, come on, T-Man, can you give my number to somebody that's playing at least, man?
Hey, listen, yeah, at least your number doesn't show up on one of the red jerseys on scout team. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, wow, that's how y'all gonna do me, T-Man? Like,
I saw a 2 out there. I saw a 15. I was like, those some good players, bro. Yeah, we gonna do that?
Yeah, man.
It's but good hey, stuff, man. We'll be back, like J-Mac said, we'll be back tomorrow covering even more of pads. Good to see the team in pads that came out with a really good energy. Hopefully, we're able to keep that up tomorrow. Hopefully, Floos doesn't dial these boys back. For Jason McKee, it's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Stay tapped in. What a shout. Stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear Don. One love. Peace.